Hi, welcome back everyone, and it's another episode of Net Gains, the podcast by Paddle Stars, where we discuss all things business, paddle and startups. And today I'm so excited to introduce someone who I've been waiting to meet for a long time. Actually, when she walked into the studio today, I said, I feel like I know you already. So without further ado, everybody, this is Pep Stoner.
Hello, Chivan.
Hi, Pep. Lovely to have you today.
Thank you for asking me. I feel like I know you too.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing before the world of paddle? And and then what drew you to paddle? You know, how did you find it and where did it all begin?
Okay, well, thanks, Jivan, for asking me here. I suppose my paddle journey started, like a lot of people finding it now, through tennis. So I played tennis for a long time, but then COVID hit. And in sort of 2020, my club at the time was Stoke Park, which is not too far from here. And they were early adopters of paddle. So they had two paddle courts in 2019, which is pretty early, early days. And my tennis four, for one reason or another, didn't get back together from COVID. People moved, countries, whatever happened. But I could hear all this fun going on. And I just ended up going to one of their roll-ups. And so the rest is history, because I loved it very quickly. Had a great coach down there, George, who organized the roll-ups. It was easy. You just joined in. And I suppose at that time of COVID, it ticked so many boxes. It was fun, it was fitness, and it was friends. And so we all missed all of those things during COVID. So that's really where it started.
Oh, wow. Okay. So the noise and the atmosphere off the paddle club kind of drew you.
It was more the social element, I think. And I'm quite a sociable person, so I love a sport and playing with people and team sport. I've always played team sport. You know, I'm Australian originally, so growing up, played everything, netball, tennis, cricket, everything. And so I think I really, after COVID, really suffered from not playing sport and not seeing friends. So paddle ticked that, all those boxes. And I really got addicted very, very quickly, and I wanted to get better and better. Yeah. So we then, our tennis holiday in Val de Loba in Portugal, which we take every year, we still do it, rapidly became a paddle holiday. And so from very early days, the whole family started training on our holiday out in Portugal. And if you look at the growth of paddle in Portugal, they were ahead of the curve. And so we got some really good coaching early days out there too.
And like you were sharing a little bit about your children when we were back in the green room.
Yes.
Like, has it been a big thing for your family? Like, it's something that you can all do and all sort of get on court together. Is this sort of a sporting activity that kind of pulled you all together in that way? Because there's very few things that, you know, you can get on, you know, do alongside your children.
That's a really pertinent question, actually, Jivan. And yes, to answer it simply, yes. We have two boys and then a girl, and all of them have been brought up with the same access to sport, golf, tennis, skiing. They're very, very lucky. But you're right. We can't all play golf together. Or tennis, it's, you know, pretty difficult with two strong boys. You know, it's a very sort of demanding sport physically and technically too, tennis. And paddle, we can just have fun. We just had a game on Sunday. The nicest thing was the daughter asking, can we play paddle? Which for me was absolutely a big tick moment, because if your teenage daughter is asking to play, that's amazing for me. Happy days.
Yeah, definitely. And I think because there is such a big thing about, you know, teenage girls are, it's normally the age where actually sport leaves their lives. It's quite a pertinent time. They either kind of go full throttle towards it, or they kind of step away. So I can totally appreciate what you're saying, because I think I was looking at some data recently where they're talking about how it, due to peer pressure or other interests, actually it is the time of life that sport leaves a girl's life. And there's so many sort of valuable things that sport bring to somebody. And I'm sure that's some of the things that you've explored in when you've started up in Power Paddle, you know?
Well, you're absolutely right. Again, you know, one of your questions was what was the inspiration behind starting in Power Paddle last September? And it is a personal journey to do with this girl's issue. And to a certain extent, I wasn't that aware of it until I started doing this. So when I started my paddle journey in 2021, I then went on quite quickly to compete, you know, I competed for with the Australian Vets team. We went to the World Champs together and it was amazing. But I then came back to the UK and I couldn't find women to play with. And I don't think people can understand that unless they were back there. Yeah. There were very few women competing. And it was quite unusual because I don't think I loved competition in tennis, but I would ask women, do you want to play? They didn't want to compete. So I started running tournaments, women's tournaments in September 22 to try and get more women playing. But as that evolved, I started to see that there were problems at a much younger age. So I think Empower, the real why behind Empower, it's obviously to get more women participating, but more than that, it's the girls element. Yeah. So, and the dropout rate is, there are various statistics, but they're usually about 46, 47% of girls drop out of sport entirely around the teenage years. And there's lots of different reasons for that you've touched on a few of them. Some stats like Sweaty Betty Foundation say 15% of girls globally do enough exercise. You know, so there are some really wider systemic issues, not to do with paddle, but within society, broad issues. But that I think paddle is an amazing sport to do something about that. And that's really our why at Empower, is how can we keep girls staying in sport, but women returning to sport and trying sport for the first time. So I've had women come to me that have never played team sport before. Yeah. And the joy on their faces when they realise quite quickly, oh, I can do this. I can play a racket sport, because they've got some sort of thing about them that they never learnt tennis or whatever. They can do it. And I've got women's groups all over now running weekly. They've met each other, they play, they have fun, and you know, paddle's so easy to take up. So that's there's no other sport like it. It's so unique.
Yeah, there was so we had Alan Douglas on a few episodes back, and he shared a really interesting stat that they've noticed from their Playtomic data, and he mentioned that women are only, you know, really want to play other women. Do you feel like that's something that you've noticed or you've experienced?
Well, I think it's quite hard to generalize. And I think that's one of the problems as well with the industry as a whole. There's sort of this generalization, we must get more women playing. But I think you have to take a step back and really look at why women want to come back to sport, or why women want to take up paddle. And every single woman is different. So, you know, one woman may want some time out away from caring responsibilities. One woman may want to get fit. Another woman may want to meet friends. So every single woman is different. And therefore, I think my advice to paddle clubs would be is to not lump all women in one thing on a Friday morning coffee group. You know, it's sort of, you have to be, but there are problems within the industry in terms of, so things like the booking apps, not just Playtomic, all of them, I don't think understand this, because a woman, it's very, very hard for a woman if she hasn't played sport for a long time or never played sport to go on a booking app and rate herself before she can even get on court, before she can even get an account. She has to say how good she is. And I have lots of friends that message me and say, what do I put? You know, I've played tennis, but I haven't played paddle, before they can even book. And I think that's where the issue lies, is before women have even thought about coming down to a paddle centre. And that's the work we try and do, is to make sure women have a warm and welcoming community and they have a sense of belonging. But we also do a lot to help them walk through that door.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's offline, you know, phone calls, emails. I mean, probably at least 10 a week that we get.
Yeah.
How do I find someone to play with? What equipment do I need? Do I need to have a partner? All of these things we address each person individually to make sure that their needs are addressed, because it's a big decision for a lot of women.
It is. And what I'm hearing from you is that what you're actually doing is you're taking the time out to find out their reason why.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just that little extra step.
Yes.
And that's why, do you know, you do speak to so many women, and like Empower is like making these massive strides through the industry that is making everyone sit up and take notice.
Yeah, and that's good too. That's
it's
a bit of our messaging as well, because I think when we first started, you know, and it was just all male everywhere. Mm. And that wasn't through anyone's fault. It's just they hadn't thought necessarily that if you look on opening a club with a gender lens, okay, we might need to do one or two things, but even recruiting women, I mean, that's a big, that's amazing to have women leaders. There are so few. That's why I take my hat off to you, because you really need diversity in any company to make good decisions. And I think that's starting to happen now a little bit more in the paddle industry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you, I mean, I guess I want to press you on that a little bit. So other than sort of, I guess, there not being enough females, what would you say are some of the other biggest challenges you face sort of in the early days of setting up Empower Paddle?
Oh, that's a good question too. I think we're getting more and more women. I think since I first started in 2022, definitely more women entering competitions. Great. We're definitely getting more women coming through, but we're just the tip of the iceberg. It's tiny at the moment. I think our challenge is probably how do we get everywhere, because we're scaling and we've got so many requests.
Yes.
How do we, it's a business that any scaling business has to address. Yeah. How do you do it efficiently? And I think we're very lucky. We've got an amazing community of women that we've known from the very beginning that are proper paddle players. You know, they've gone through the journey and they are really, some of them representing the country at the highest level.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that we are going to now get to help us as ambassadors.
Your ambassadors.
Yeah. So we've set up an ambassador program. We're just at the beginning of it.
Fantastic.
And it's just, the problem is actually they're too enthusiastic. They want to do too much. So it's almost like, okay, let's just rein it back and just, and the other issue we've got is we do such a good job getting women into paddle centres. The next stage is how do you give them the best coaching to improve their skills?
Yeah.
Because as you probably know, that is also a huge issue in the industry, is the number of very, very good coaches available.
Yeah.
And we work a lot with the paddle school, and we'll do a lot more community days with them, just because we just find they are really, the women really like learning with them. And we need to sort of now make a pathway, because it's important for women to know that they can get better and be the best they can be. Give them the skills to do that.
Yeah.
And not just jump on a paddle court and wave around. They can be really good if they're given the training.
Yeah. So what would you say are the key qualities you're looking for in Empower Paddle Ambassador?
Oh. Well, they've got to share my values. Yeah. And my values are that it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
You've got to be welcoming. And the community is really, it's joyful, right? I mean, it's fun. It's so amazing to have a sport where you can meet other people. And there's so many different connections that have come out of Empower, you know, jobs and just, networking
friendships,
connections.
Jobs.
Friendships, mum's advice to young mums. I mean, there's all sorts of things that's undocumented. And I think that's also a challenge, is actually writing down or capturing the impact we're having.
Yeah.
And so that's one of my next challenges.
Start journaling. the key sort of things that you hear people talking about.
No, well, just the impact, the number of women and girls we're getting onto court, or but even role models. You know, we do a lot about championing some of the GB players to give them a voice too, because you can't be it unless you can see it. So their journey is really important too at the top.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of our jobs as well, is to make sure they get a voice as well.
Yeah.
Because the two GB players in Australia in January were phenomenal. They won three in a row. And I think, I don't know if everyone over here heard about it, but it was amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big thing, isn't it? It's like the publicity and the media attention around it. There's definitely room for growth there. And
yeah, definitely. And, and the two top ones, Amy Gibson and Catherine Rose and also Tia Norton, they're phenomenal women in a sport that's very new. So I think it's important to also champion them and tell their story as well.
Yeah. You have built a really strong brand identity, and there are other sort of female sort of paddle ventures out there as well. But what differentiates Empower Paddle from, say, some of the others in the marketplace?
Well, there's a few coming on now, but I mean, my take on it is that actually these women bringing other women onto court is great. It's amazing. It's not what I had 3 years ago. I had nothing. So I think if I've inspired them to do that, fantastic. That's great. You know, you light another candle, your candle doesn't go out, it shines brighter. So, you know, I'm really, and if I can help them in any way, a couple of new ones that have started have reached out and, you know, and I think I've been able to give them some tips to sort of help them a bit of lessons I've learned, and hopefully supported them as well, because I think all of them are doing a great job for the right reasons.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that is, you know, that's sort of a brilliant attitude to have, because I know when I started and there was like no one else doing well, in Padium, there was, they had a COO, Sarah, at the time.
Yes,
and in my first week on the job, she actually reached out to me saying, would you like to come here and have a coffee with me so I can share with you my experiences today?
She's a lovely person, Sarah.
Yeah, it was, you know, so she extended that hand of friendship, offered that advice. And like, even now, anyone I meet, I'm like, you know, I'm raving about her. So it's just...
I can't take credit, but we invited Sarah before she opened Padium. Yeah. We invited her to one of our events. Hopefully it passed on.
Yeah. Actually, she introduced me to you.
Oh, well, thank you, Sarah.
That's how we met. I think it was after my meeting with her and then she's like, we had such a great connection and she was like, oh, that's it. And actually, that was the first interaction we had.
Funny. That's funny. But actually, on a serious note, women are amazing at relationship building.
Yeah, we are.
And that's one thing for clubs to take note. If you get women into your clubs, building a community in your club, they, and I've spoken about this on other podcasts, they are amazing because they will really build that community. They'll stay, have coffee, bring their kids in the holidays.
Yeah.
They will build, buy the merch. You know, they're really quite good for the business of Paddle.
They're great advocates because ultimately they will celebrate you even in, you know, even when you're not in the room to hear it. And I think that is very, very much a female trait, you know,
definitely.
If they've had a good experience somewhere, you can be sure they're going to tell like 10, 11, 12 other people that, oh my God, you won't believe what I did.
Yeah. And I think one thing I also feel quite strongly about is women helping other women. So one of the, as women start Paddle Now and get better, I've had quite a few comments about, oh, which level should I be in? Should I be in this? And that's one of the problems with these booking apps, because they give you levelings. And actually, I think in Paddle, you know, it's Paddle, right? So there's really only beginning, you know, beginner, intermediate, advanced and national. Yeah. I mean, there's, but if you play up and the people are stronger, great, it might be better. But playing with a lesser able means you get to practice your shots.
Yeah.
So it don't look at it as in this is lower than me. It's actually good for you to play because you can practice.
Mm.
But also, we're all beginners once. So help others. And that's one message I'll try and say is try and pay back a little bit. And I know Sandy talks about this a lot from the Paddle School too. Try and give back a little bit as well.
I mean, again, it's another story, but our coaches will say actually, so we at Paddle Stars, we have our own internal leveling system and everyone is leveled when they come in with the coach. But they will say about changing the leveling, actually they only really get the guys going at them saying, I want to go and join this group, can you up my level? It's very rarely will a female come in and try to challenge the leveling that's been set for her.
Well, and the issue is gender inequity starts at the age of 5. So that's not an issue in Paddle.
Yeah.
That's an issue that, you know, we, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, bring up our girls with a different way to the boys, you know, in terms of boys are really brought up to be competitive and to embrace that. Whereas women, and this is one of our battles with getting women into competitions, you know, they don't inherently love to compete.
Yeah.
So I think we've done quite a lot of work on that actually. And we've
I love competitions.
Good. Be fearless. We'll enter one together. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, definitely. So what's your sort of approach? What things are you putting into place to build this loyal community around a sport that's still relatively new and emerging in the UK?
Yeah, I think our ambassador program's quite key. So we're building that out at the moment. And these women will then go back to their venues and we're giving them the skills to be able to bring women onto court. So like we're running a huge one on Friday down in Hampshire, 30 women. They're all new to Paddle. And I've got a team of 5 or 6 ambassadors with me.
Yeah.
And really what our job is a warm, safe, welcoming environment. Start with a coffee, introduce everyone, get onto court, give them a few basics. And then after that, encourage them to go back to their local clubs, hire the coach there, get a group of 3 or 4 together, because a lot of the problems women have are, who do I play with? I don't know why it is, but women are always sort of saying, oh, I don't know who to play. They need help setting up that initial 4 or 8.
Yeah.
And one of my most successful things, which I never planned, was I've got 3 groups, Paddle with Peps. And it's a WhatsApp group I run where I just put people together, beginner, intermediate, advanced. And, you know, it's funny, isn't it? It just was something that was started as a bit of a butt of a joke, and then it's now, because people like being put together, particularly women. They like knowing that somebody's going to put them in a four. And then some of these women now are lifelong friends. Some have gone off on holiday together this week, and it's amazing.
Wow.
The impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that element, the ambassador. And also I think we're going to start to do a lot more with the Paddle School and Sandy on coaching skills, because I think, coaching our community, but also I want to start to see a lot more women take up coaching qualifications, because the numbers of women that are coaches, it's dire. It's like, I think there were 19 trained last year out of the LTA. So, which is not their fault, but it's just women don't seem to be coming into coaching as much as they should be. And then leadership as well. That's another thing we really want to champion, women leaders in paddle.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I've mentioned to you, you know, we're, every time we're opening a centre and we're doing the recruitment program, there have been occasions that, you know, there's been no female applicants at all. And I would love to see sort of more and more coming through, and just, you know, and the coaching qualification will be a big part in sort of enabling that.
Yeah. And equality is not the same as equity, right? And I think that's something that everyone needs to sort of just address, that maybe the women need a little bit more help to get them into that scenario where they feel comfortable taking a coaching qualification. So it is an equity piece. So we're going to do a lot more around that. I mean, I think I might take my coaching qualification for a start to see what it's all about, so that I can then share the journey and encourage other women, because I think that would really help me as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think where you are, you know, a lot of women do look to you sort of for advice and sort of leadership in that area. I think, you know, even if you documented that journey, actually, it would be really, really interesting.
Well, yes, I have started it, but the first barrier was I didn't have a DBS check. So I've just done that barrier. So I'm documenting
it. There's quite a lot of hurdles, isn't there? There's the DBS and you do the readiness. I mean, it's good to know as well. They're not just dishing out coaching qualifications.
No, but a lot of it's to camera. And I think a lot of women find that daunting. So I'm going to do it all first and then see how I can encourage other women to. This is the LTA qualification, just for anyone that's not. I have done the British Paddle Coaches Association qualification.
Yes.
And I have also been on the Hello Paddle Academy, which is in Spain. But so I have done other ones, but I think now you need the LTA one to be able to practice in an LTA venue in the UK. So I think it'd be good for me to do that and see if we can encourage more women, because we definitely need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Watching the space.
I'll let you know. I'll let you know. I have to pass the readiness first.
And so you didn't come from a coaching background.
No.
What did you do before the world of paddle?
Oh, well, I do have branding and events experience. I worked for Unilever for years. And then when I had children, I ran a charity. So one, I had a team that I paid to work. And the other one, I had to motivate for free. So it was quite different experiences. Yeah. But building out teams is what I love doing, and empowering others to do the best they can. So that's the next stage from Empower, really, is to build our team out.
And are you finding that a lot of your experiences in those areas are now being called upon?
Yes. I didn't realize it would. They've sort of all come together. And I, you know, the most recent thing I did was a tech startup for children going to hospital, because I have a background in psychology. So all three things over life have all converged at once with a paddle women's business. And it really ticks all the boxes for me, because I love sport. I've always played sport. And this is great, because it's also having an impact, which really sits with me really well.
Definitely is. And the UK paddle market as a whole, what are sort of your predictions as to where in the UK it might head in the next 3 to 5 years?
It feels like a bit of a gold rush at the moment. Yeah. In the last 6 months, it's suddenly exploded. And especially if you've been around since 2019, 2020, when it was like, I mean, I think there were 80 courts at one point, you know, tiny. Now it's, I think the end of last year was nearly 500. And now, gosh, I don't know, 1,500. I mean, who knows? But it's this massive scale at the moment. I think it'll probably settle in a year or two. And the sort of really good businesses with solid foundation, solid staffing, solid community builders will survive. There probably will be a correction in time, because you only have to look at Sweden to see what happened there. And a lot of people don't realize that. That was a massive rush, you know, 7,000 courts in COVID with a population of 10 million. You can see we're a population of 60 million. We've only got 1,000. So you can see the difference very quickly. And I think UK has huge potential. There are parts of the country that still aren't covered by paddle courts. Mm. So that's a big issue. And actually, when we did our tournaments in Australia in January, that was one of the questions Tennis Australia asked me. And I said, well, big issue is accessibility, because if you are a woman and you want to go and play, but there's no court near you, that's kind of like number one, right? It's infrastructure is the number one issue. So we've got a way to go yet, though, before we cover the UK. So I think it's fine for the moment.
Yeah.
You're fine. Keep expanding.
I'll keep going.
Keep going.
And what do you look for in a paddle club when you're deciding whether it's suitable for an Empower event?
Well, the same thing we look in all partnerships. We look for a shared values, the shared values that we have. So it's got to be fun, got to be welcoming. And actually, at the end of the day, just like working with people. So the people we enjoy working with are the ones that we tend to end up doing events with. And yeah, so far, so good. Yeah. So we're looking forward to working with more.
Yeah, and a good cup of coffee. I remember you telling me that.
Oh, yes, and a good cup of coffee. You're right. I love a good cappuccino.
I guess we've got to, I've just been signalled that we've got to start drawing to an end. We carry on talking. A biggie, as one of the most recognised female leaders in paddle right now, do you feel a sense of responsibility or a pressure? And how do you handle that? Because you're like so upbeat and optimistic. Like you just radiate all this positive energy. But,
Maybe ask my family when there's no food in the fridge. No, I feel it's a privilege, right, to have this because it is a very, very special sport. I feel like it's a privilege at my age to be able to give back and to help so many women enjoy sport, because the sport has given me so much. I want as many women as possible, and girls, particularly girls. You're going to start seeing a lot more from us with girls, because that's a big passion thing for me, because I can see the difference in my own household with the attitude to sport with the two boys and their friends and the girls. You know, my daughter still plays a lot of sport, but a lot of her friends are starting to drop out age 15.
Yeah.
So I can see it. It's right on my doorstep. So it's a privilege. It's enjoyable.
Yeah. And, what advice would you give to someone? Because that is sort of starting out on their own startup journey.
Mm, yes. Well, I think with any startup, you have to recognize it's really hard work, right? Nothing comes easy. You know, there've been lots of late nights, long journeys. We've driven all over the country with our little kit in our bag. Yeah. So I have to thank my team for that, because they're amazing. Come with me. But we're having fun too, right? So that's important. And I think with a startup, you have to just always go back to your why. Why are you doing this? Because that's the thing that's going to keep you going when time does. You know, time do get a bit tough if you're worried about cash flow, or you're worried about whether the next event's going to work, or there's all sorts of things that can go wrong. But as long as you're having fun and you're doing something that really feels meaningful to you, it doesn't feel like hard work. So that's my tip.
Love what you do.
Love what you do.
And I'd love to end on, if you're allowed to share, what do you see for Empower Paddle? So what sort of ambitions and goals have you got in your horizon?
Oh gosh, we've got big goals. We're rolling out.
I'd love to hear.
We're rolling out to Australia this year.
Wow.
So that's really exciting. We've got a little partnership coming with Tennis Australia, which is great. I've just been to Singapore to see a friend, and I think we'd love to do it there, because I grew up in Singapore. Yeah. So that's a little. So I think we'll go to the markets where we've got friends and contacts that in a way come to us too. So it's back to the same thing. We want to have fun with our community. I'm a complete paddle person, you know. I love paddle. I've played to sort of, you know, a certain level, and all those people in my community are going to help me fuel it forward. So we want to empower other women. So the lady in Australia is a friend. She's now going to run that as a business. So it's about empowering others too. So I think, exciting things to come.
Oh, do you know what? It's been such a pleasure to have you.
Really, thank you for asking me.
Fantastic energy. So I'm buzzing off this conversation.
Well, let's have many more. And a game.
Yes, and a game. And if you have enjoyed listening in today and you want to tune in for more of these conversations, you know what you need to do. Hit our follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you're listening to this on, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.